begin this morning. And if you can believe me, I'm going to try to keep it short. That just means I'll preach from down here. Well, we do have something we want to do at the end of our service in celebration of these boxes that are here. We're going to have a DVD presentation or a video presentation and then a time of prayer. A few words from Brother Robinson about what we did this weekend. And so I want to give that plenty of time at the conclusion of the service. So let's look this morning at Psalm 138 and verse number 2, a familiar verse. Psalm 138, verse number 2, the psalmist wrote this, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And I want to emphasize the last part of this verse this morning. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's a pretty astounding statement. The name of God is high. There's no name higher. And yet that verse tells us that he has esteemed, that he has magnified his word. That's that book you're holding in your hands right now. He's magnified that word above even his name. Now that kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? Now we say this, that a man is only as good as his word. And God is as good as his word is. So if his word is fallible, if his word is prone to error, then so is God. But we're thankful this morning that we have a book that is the Word of God, and that book is infallible. That book is without error, just like our God is. And we're going to talk about that book here this morning. I want to preach about the value of the book. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again for all that have gathered here this morning, our faithful folk, our guests, our friends, our visitors. And we pray as we unite our hearts this morning to hear from the Word of God that, Father, you would speak in a way that only you can. Father, I pray you'd take my human feeble effort. Father, fill it with the Spirit of God and help your word to be that which reaches our hearts here this morning and touches us, challenge us. God, make us thankful for the word of God that we hold in our hands. God, knowing there are many people this morning around the world that love you, many that are saved, but Father, have no Bible in their language and in their hands. We're thankful for the part we've had this weekend of being able to put some of the word of God into a language that's going to a mission field. And Father, it's a wonderful thing to have part in that, but Father, we need to know the Word of God is alive and active in our lives back here also. And so, Father, I pray you'd bless as we look at your Word and read what it says about itself and give us an appreciation of it. And Father, I pray that in each and every heart here this morning, your Word would be alive and active and true. Should there be someone today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, never been born again by the grace of God, we pray, God, you'd speak especially to that heart. Speak to that soul. Show them their need for Christ and for salvation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 138 and verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Folks, you and I this morning, with that book right there, that book that you're holding in your hand that many times we don't give a second thought to, we have access to the greatest book in all the world. And that's the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, 66 books, all put together in one binding so that we could hold in our hand. We have something that's of value right there. We have something that people have died for. People have fought for. We have something that people have tried to exterminate and tried to get away with. But at the same time, we've got the Word of God from heaven. Let me give you four things this morning about the value of this book. Number one, I want you to see that it is a transmitted book. It is a transmitted book. You realize that you and I are not worthy to look at the words in that book, much less hold it in your hands. You and I are sinners. We have broken every commandment and every law of God that there is. And yet God has allowed you and I the privilege of holding a book and putting it in our hands and carrying it around in the world we live in and taking it home and reading it, bringing it to church. Gazing upon its passages, looking upon its words. We're not, our hands are not worthy, our eyes are not worthy, our ears are not worthy to hear that book right there. And yet God has given it from heaven and brought it down here to us. The Bible tells us, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This is a heavenly book. Now, I don't claim to be able to grasp all of this, but I know this, that because of the way our God is, that before eternity began, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were already written in the mind of God. Thousands of years before those men were even born, because God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows everything. In His mind, the book of Revelation, the final period had been put at the end of the book before man was even created. And I can't comprehend all that. I can't understand all that. I simply accept it because the Bible declares it to be true. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. You know what forever means? No beginning, no ending. It doesn't mean that when it got written, it would never disappear. It means that there was no beginning of it either. In the mind of God, that book has always been there. It's a heavenly book. And yet somehow, God got it from heaven down here to earth so we could put it in our hands. Aren't you thankful that God transmitted His word? If we didn't have that book, how would you know what's right? How would you know what's true? You would hear some yahoo on the radio or television, or they'd come around your neighborhood and say, well, our church teaches this, or we believe that. And if you had no Bible to go back to, you would be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. But because we have God's Word in human language, we can know what God has to say for us. Can you imagine going to a foreign mission field? Let's say you went to the remote villages of Papua New Guinea. And you got there where there was no written word, and all you could do was hear the language of the people. It hadn't even been put on paper. The alphabet hasn't been put down in black and white yet. And you get around those people, and you hear a language that you can hear, but you can't look at it. That's the way the Word of God was before it got put in our language. It was a heavenly language that God had from the beginning of time, and yet He transmitted it down to us so that you and I could get a glimpse of that heavenly language. Keep your place there if you would. Well, you don't have to in Psalm. We won't be back to Psalm 138, but we'll be back to Psalms in a minute. But look, if you would, in the New Testament over at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I know that most of us are aware of this verse and know what's going on, but how did God transmit His word from up there to down here? If it's been in heaven and God's known it all this time, how did he find a way to get it to human beings so we could do it? What good... And follow me as I... What good would the Word of God have been in heaven for the angels? For them to know the message of grace. For them to know the crucifixion of Christ. For them to know the resurrection. It really didn't mean a lot to them. And so God transmitted His Word down to earth and put it in human hands. And people gave their lives to get the Bible into writing where we could look at it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16... God gives us the story of how He transmitted His Word. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You'll notice in verse 16, the Bible said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration is the means that God used to communicate His Word and transmit it from heaven down to earth. He inspired His words. Now, He didn't inspire the authors of the Word. The men weren't inspired. The Scriptures, the writings were inspired. So that a man or woman that sat down with that pen and gave us Scripture, when they sat down and penned those words, that the words that came out, it wasn't the man that was inspired, it wasn't the pen that was inspired, but as the words went down on that paper, it was a heavenly message being transmitted and put on paper in earthly language. And thank God He transmitted that word. That's how pure, how supernatural, how inspired it is. Look, if you would, here in 2 Peter chapter 1, a few pages back from 2 Timothy. 2 Peter chapter 1, again, God tells us in His word how this transaction was done, how this inspiration took place. A lot of folks got a lot of definitions of inspiration, and we're not going to go into all that kind of stuff. I always like the Bible definition better. Then somebody saying, well, this means this and this means that. I was like looking at other verses and finding, all right, God, how did You do this? How did You transmit Your language from heaven down here to earth? You tell me it was by inspiration, but what does inspiration mean? For 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. You know what some folks say? Well, that Bible is just written by a bunch of old Jews. No, it didn't come by the will of man. It wasn't 40 different authors over 1,500 years of time living in different continents and different times. It wasn't them that collaborated together and made every prophecy match. It wasn't Moses, who didn't live at the same time as Paul, that made their cross references exactly the way they should be. It was God giving His word through men. The Bible says in verse 21, "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So God used His Holy Spirit, used the Holy Ghost to transmit that word down to men. He carried it from heaven down to earth. And He put it on paper through the pens of good and faithful men. He put it down on the paper. The words on that paper were transmitted. They're heavenly words in an earthly language. Now, I believe the best example of this, if you follow me back to the Old Testament, is 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Again, I say the best word to find out what something, the best way to find out what something means, I'm all for the dictionary. I have no problem with that. I use the dictionary quite a bit. But the best way is to compare Scripture with Scripture. And when the Bible says that God transmitted His Word from heaven down to here, He used holy men of old that were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, we're getting the picture together. But exactly how did God do it? In 2 Samuel chapter 23, David said in verse 1, "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said," verse 2, "the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." What God did from heaven is by the power of His Holy Ghost, He brought that heavenly language, brought it down here to earth, and put it in the tongues and in the pens of men. Again, it wasn't the tongues of men. It wasn't the men that were inspired. It wasn't the utensil of a pen that was inspired. It was the words that were inspired. They were being transmitted from heaven down to earth so we would have God's word in our hand. And David said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Thank God we have the word of God. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When you and I turn the pages of this book and read every word was transmitted from heaven down to earth so you and I can see it. And the Bible says every word came directly from the mouth of God. It's a transmitted book. Back in the Old Testament, we read so many times, 258 times, "The word of the Lord came." The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to David. We read that 258 times in the Old Testament where God took His word and put it down into the mouths and into the lives of people, and they communicated it so we could have that heavenly language transmitted in our earthly language. 415 times the Bible said that, "Thus saith the Lord." 450 times, "Thus saith the Lord." The prophets in the Old Testament got that message from heaven, communicated and put in their tongue on earth, and they said, "Thus saith the Lord." So we have the assurance this morning that when we read that book, every word is transmitted from heaven. It's God's word is sealed forever in heaven, but it doesn't do any good, so God brought it down here to earth so that every word we have is the word of God. How thankful we ought to be that we've got a transmitted book. It's not an earthly book. Earthly publishers might put it in a cover and put it on paper, but every word that's in that thing, every word came directly from the mouth of God in heaven, moved through the pen of inspiration, written down in the book so that we might have every word of God. It's important to have every word of God. It's a transmitted book. Secondly, I want to say this, it's a timeless book. Not only is it a transmitted book, but it is a timeless book. Back to 1 Peter, if you would. We were just in 2 Peter, but if you go back to 1 Peter, say, "Preacher, why are you turning to Bible verses?" Again, I don't want you to take my opinion. I don't want you to get my thoughts. My thoughts are no good. I want to look at the Bible to see what it says about itself. Because what it says about itself is true. It's a timeless book. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, the Bible says this, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." We run those two words together in our modern English, forever, make it one word, but it's two words, there's an emphasis on it. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And if you would type those two words into a sword searcher or a concordance of some sign and put the two words forever on there and see how many times that shows up in the Bible. And the Bible is telling us that God's word is forever. People have tried to destroy it. They've tried to burn it. There have been times, ages in history where it was outlawed, and yet it keeps coming back. It keeps showing it. Those that have hated it and those that have tried to destroy it are dead and buried and in the ground. And yet the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's said of the great atheist, the French atheist Voltaire, who just cursed God and denied God and hated the word of God, hated the Bible, that after he died, he said he was going to eliminate the Bible from the face of the earth, and after he died, the American Bible Society bought his house. And they started publishing Bibles in the very house of the man who was determined to destroy it from the face of the earth. See, God's Word endures forever. There are folks today that are just like him, just like others, that deny it, debate it, discuss it. They hate it. They don't want anything to do with it. You go around the house of some folks, and thank God there's not very many of them. There's not as many as the news media would tell us there are, but there's some folks out there that don't want to see that Bible. They panic when they see it. They get nervous when they hear it. They say, well, don't bring that into the schoolhouse. Don't bring that into the courthouse. Don't bring it this place. You can take it anywhere you want to. There's no law against it. You can carry that book anywhere you want to. But there's some folks that'll panic when they see it. And after they're dead and gone, that book is still going to live on because God's Word endures forever and ever. Look, if you would, back at Psalm 119. And you might want to mark that because we're going to be there for a little while. But Psalm 119, if you know your Bible, you know that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all the Bible. It's 176 verses. And out of those 176 verses, 174 of them make reference to the Bible. Whether by calling it the commandments, the statutes, the laws, whatever it might be, 174, all but two verses out of those 176 make reference in some way to God's Word. It is the greatest chapter in all the Bible about the Bible itself. And notice what it says about the Bible being a timeless book in Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119 and verse 89, the Bible says this, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." You know, I man's never been able to destroy the Bible because they can't get their hands on its source. See, the source is not of earth. The source is not down here. The source of God's Word is heaven. And when they destroy one down here, God just raises up another one. God just sends another. Tyndale, dying on the cross, or not on the cross, dying as he was put to the stake back in England. He was burned at the stake for translating the Bible into the common tongue of the people. He was taking the Old Testament and the New Testament in their original languages and putting it into English so John Plowman, so the average worker of the field in England, could get the Bible into their own language and not have to trust a priest or someone else to interpret it for them. They could have it in their own hands, and the Church of England despised it so much that they burned him at the stake for it. And he said, "All open the King of England's eyes." Shortly after his death, the Bible began to come out in the English language to be published from the Tyndale to the Geneva to the Bishop's Bible. And then finally, the crowning achievement of our King James Bible came into the hands of English-speaking people. You say, what is it? It's a timeless book. God has given it for you and I, and it can't be destroyed. It can be discarded. It can be denied. They can try to ignore it, but it's going to endure forever. Look in Psalm 119 and verse 152. Verse 152. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." In the mind of God, the Word of God is eternal. It's always been there. It's always going to be there. People can deny it. They can disagree with it. They can debate it. They can argue it. They can do whatever they want to it. They can try to disprove it. But it's going to stand on its own. It's a timeless book. There in Psalm 119, look at verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Folks, you know the Bible tells us that in that last day it's going to be that book that judges us. It's going to be that law that judges us. There's going to be a man, there's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to be sitting on the throne, and I don't want to diminish that, but you know we're always judged according to some written law. If we were going to be judged by something that we had no access to, how would we be judged? In fact, the Bible tells us about those heathen nations, those nations that don't have the Word of God. Through places like where Brother Robinson's through, they're trying to get translations from every known language there is so that everybody can have access to the Word of God in their language. But we'll probably get to the point, before the Lord comes back, there's probably going to be some languages that never get the Word of God. You say, what will they be judged by? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. They'll be judged by what God's already done, and knowing by that that there's got to be a God in heaven, and as they pursue Him, God opens their understanding and gives them light. We've got much more than that. We've got God's timeless Word right here in our head. No American will ever be able to stand before God and say, I didn't have the opportunity to know. I couldn't hear. They can go to the dime store. They can go to the drug store. They can go to the dollar store and get a copy of the Word of God. It's available everywhere. It's a timeless book. Kings have tried to destroy it. Nations have tried to overrun it. Other books have come and gone. Other books have come and gone. You know, you go to a bookstore now and you walk into a library or a bookstore and you look at all the books that are there that most of them are never touched. Most of them will get dust on the covers because they just sit there waiting for somebody to read them and they never get touched. This book is read by multitudes of people all around the world. What a blessing we have. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the Bible says, but my words shall not pass away. It's a timeless book. Number three. It's a truthful book. It's a truthful book. Turn to John chapter 17. You remember what Pilate said before Jesus as he stood there ready to condemn Him to death? Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? And that's what the world's looking for today, truth. What is truth? You turn on the radio and you hear everything and anything in the world. So many varied opinions. So many people of intellect and education telling us this is the way it is. Science proving conclusively one thing or another. And it can be confusing. If we didn't have a source of truth, this would be a messed up world. We wouldn't know who to believe and who not to believe. We would be caught up in every theory that comes off the pens of men. But thankful we have a book that is truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17. In his prayer to God the Father in John 17, he said, sanctify them, talking about his believers. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John sang the song, it's true from beginning to end. No iota of that book right there has ever been disproven. Believe me, archaeologists have tried to do it. They've tried to say, well, you know, that ancient city of so-and-so, that's just a figment of somebody's imagination. That never really existed. And then hundreds of years later, some archaeologists found under the sand the very city the Bible declared to be in existence. All that person, so they go from the city to the person. Oh, maybe the city's there, but that person never existed. It's a made-up name. Then they find some kind of tablet. Some kind of document where that person's name has been put on it. And it just proves time after time after time that everything the Bible says is true. You can bank on it. You can count on it. You can depend on it. What it says is true. When the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, you can believe it. No matter what postulation somebody else comes up with, no matter what theory somebody else says, when people start talking about the little amoeba and the ooze and the tadpole and the frog and the bird and all that kind of stuff, you can just say, I don't know where your ancestors came from, but bless God, I know where mine came from. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They come up with all the theories, all the postulations, all the ideas, all the scientific things. You know, science thinks it so much. You know, science at one time taught that the earth was flat and rested on the back of a turtle. And that if you sailed far enough, you could go off the edges. That wasn't just a theory of some men. That was very learned men of their age, scientific minds of their day that thought that. You know what they found out? That was silly. What they call a fairy tale, they were the ones that believed fairy tales. Now they're believing that somehow an accident happened in the universe, in the cosmos, that made the complex life that you and I have. When Brother Gary went in for his heart surgery, and they go in there and, excuse me, cut that chest bone open and crack that thing, and some of you have had this done, crack that thing open and go in there with these little tools and fix and repair and bypass the veins in there. You know, all that stuff was put in there by an all-knowing God, and the veins and the muscles and everything. I don't think a doctor, I've never met one yet, but I don't think a doctor could be an atheist. I don't see how a doctor could believe in evolution, that this whole system just happened out of nowhere. Then you multiply it by all the forms of animal life and the forms of vegetation and the forms of science and astronomy and all that. Folks, there's a simple answer for all that. In the beginning, God. And I like how God did that. He didn't try to argue about it. He didn't try to prove it. He just simply stated it. In the beginning, God. It's a book of truth. You want to know truth? You look at that book. You want to know error? You listen to anything and examine it by that book, and it'll separate truth from error. Don't worry about the opinions of men. Don't worry about the philosophies of the most intellectual. You've got a truthful book. Look there at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse number 160. Psalm 119, verse 60, the beginning of the verse we read already. Thy word is true from the beginning. God puts those words, true and His word, as synonymous. They're in agreement. If you disagree with the Bible, I got a newsflash for you. You're wrong. Anybody that disagrees with the Bible, I don't care how many degrees they got behind their name, PhD, THD, DD, all that, it doesn't matter. If they disagree with the Bible, it's been proven from the beginning. Time after time, it's been denied. It's been burned. They've tried to destroy it and debate it and all that stuff. And every time, it comes out on top. Thy word is true from the beginning. Look back at verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth. Back at verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is truth. You want something that you can bank on and depend on to be true every single time? It's that book right there. There's no other book like that. There's no other book in this world that you can read that you have a guarantee that everything it says is true and right and accurate. Every textbook in every school gets updated every few years because science is finding things out and figuring out where they were wrong. Geology is doing that. History is doing that. They're changing facts and figures. This word never had to change one iota because it's always been the truth. The Bible's a transmitted book. It's a timeless book. It's a truthful book. And lastly, it's a treasured book. It's a treasured book. If you could put all the wealth of this world in one hand, you ought not trade it for that book in the other hand right there. Say, preacher, you telling me if you could get all the gold of Fort Knox, not sure what that's worth anymore, but if you could get all the gold and diamonds of South Africa and put it in that hand, you're telling me you'd take that book instead? Absolutely. You know, when I'm despondent, the gold might help, but not like this thing does. You sit down there with that book in your lap, and you communicate with God and you begin to read it, and those words begin to flood over your soul and wash over you, and it gives you an assurance, it gives you a confidence, it gives you a peace that passes all understanding, that all the money in the world that will one day burn up isn't going to give to you. It's a valuable treasure. It's the most valuable earthly possession we have. That's why people have died for it. That's why people have risked their lives to smuggle it into countries where it was illegal. That's why you and I need to appreciate the value of the book. It's a treasure. Look there in Psalm 119 and verse number 72. Psalm 119, verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. See, don't take my word for it. Take the psalmist's word for it. The psalmist that went through, you read through the book of Psalms and all the trials and tribulations and difficulties and hardships and illnesses and sicknesses. You read all those things that happened to that guy in the book of Psalms, and you know what he came to the conclusion of? Thy law, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. David had quite a bit of gold and silver. But you know what he realized? When he needed help, that word was better than tons of gold and silver. Look there in Psalm 119, verse 127. Psalm 19, verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. It's a treasured book. It's more valuable. You know, if when we were done this morning, I put some diamonds down here at the altar. I put some bars of gold down here. And I said, at the last amen, those that want to come and get it, help yourself. You think it was chaos when we shook hands while we were shaking hands a few minutes ago? You watch if Brother Gary was up here praying as he normally does in Jesus' name. When he said in Jesus' name, people would be getting their running shoes on. And when he said A, they'd be starting out of the pews. When he said men, they'd already be down here. We would be running and fighting and scrapping for the wealth of this world. And yet right now what we've got down on this altar is of more value than all the gold and silver that this world could ever find. You know, these Bibles here, this John of Romans is going to Bulgaria to a missionary to hand out. There's 10,500 some odd copies that are right here. There's going to be 400,000 by the time everybody's done putting them together. They're going to put them in a container and ship them over to Bulgaria, and a missionary is going to hand them out. You know, that missionary could go over there and hand out gold and hand out silver. And I'm sure the Bulgarian people would do the same thing we as Americans would do. We'd be climbing over each other to get it. But the truth of the matter is they're going to be giving something that's far more valuable than silver and gold and diamonds. They're going to get something that tells them how to get eternal life. They're going to get something that's going to tell them how their sins can be forgiven. How they can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that no matter what poverty they live in down here, no matter what oppression they live in down here, no matter what tribulations and difficulties they live in down here, no matter how much there might be envy of others that have more, maybe even America that's rich and wealthy, we're doing our job by sending this over there to give them the most valuable treasure we could give them. We could load that container with silver and gold and diamonds, and it wouldn't be any more valuable. It would be less valuable than putting these John and Romans in there and sending it to lost and dying people. It's a treasured book. Look, if you would, at one more verse back in Psalm 19. And a lot of you will recognize this because we sing it as a song many times. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm chapter 19, notice the verse that we use as the chorus for that short little song. Psalm 119 and verse number 10. It says about the value of this word. It says, it's more to be desired. More to be desired are they, the words of the Lord, than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Folks, you realize, everybody in here this morning, if you've got a Bible in your hand, a Bible in your lap, if you don't, there's one in the pew in front of you, you have access to the most valuable thing this world has ever seen. You've got access to the greatest treasure this world has ever laid its hands on. And you and I have the privilege of holding it in our hands and reading it every day. And yet it goes ignored. It goes untouched many times from Sunday to Sunday by many believers and Christians. When we were overseas on the mission field, we had a church of 80 to 100 people on Sunday. We had four Bibles to go around. That's all we had in their language. That's all we had available. So we took that Bible, Brother Robinson, we took that Bible and sent it back to Newburg Bible Publishers. I don't know if they're still up there in Newburg, Michigan. And we sent it up there, and they took it apart page by page and copied all those pages. And our home church up in Livonia paid for that to get put back together, and it was a monster. It was about that big. The paper was thick. Everything was pretty rough. And they boxed them up like this and sent them out there. I've got pictures of it back home. I wish I could show you the pictures, the faces of those people when everybody got a Bible for their own. When we handed them out that Sunday morning to the people in our church, and everybody for the first time, many of those people for the first time, had their very own Bible. Yet here in the States, we've got a bunch of them. We got a big one on the coffee table at home. We stuff all the obituaries in there and awards in there and stuff like that, and that's the only life it ever sees. We've got access to the greatest book this world has ever seen. It's right here in our hands. And you know what the Bible says? That if we'll meditate on it day and night, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great success. That's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. That if we would put this word in us, we would be prosperous and have good success. Doesn't mean you'll be wealthy. Doesn't mean you're going to be rich. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and temptations. But it means that the presence of God will be so alive and so powerful and so real. Why? Because God has given us His heavenly words in earthly language. It's a transmitted book. God has given us His Word that forever was settled in heaven and put it down here so we could have it. It's a timeless book. God has given us 66 books, 710,000 some odd words in this book, and every word is true. It's a truthful book. And then we find it's a treasured book. Is it treasured to you? Do you esteem the words of His mouth more than your necessary food, like Job said? Job said, more than breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I need to feast on the Word of God. The value of that book. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.